angel, American bald eagle, that's going to be with us tonight, was going to be with us at the baby dedication. So I prepared a message entitled Show and Tell. Now, Angel is in Milwaukee at a church this morning. Angel backslid on us and went some other place. It's a church. But tonight, Angel will be with us, and this is not just about eagles, but there's a lot of references in the scripture about eagles, and this will be a presentation by Dennis and Dottie Flint, but because they work in a refuge where they rehabilitate eagles that have been injured, and Angel cannot fly, but they are rehabilitating her, and they will talk about the eagle, and then we'll have a scriptural presentation. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings of eagles. And so, and then after service, Angel will be in the vestibule, in the lobby, maybe I should say. And if you want to have your picture made with Angel, you can do that. So, hey, we'd like for you to stand at this time. Again, welcome all of the family members. Baby dedications are so wonderful. They're just so valuable. You'll never forget having your child dedicated. We do not baptize infants because in the scripture, infants weren't baptized in the Bible, but they were dedicated. And baptism is to occur only after one has repented of his or her sins. And naturally, children being born into the world for the having a propensity towards sin, but yet not sinners from the standpoint of committing a sin, the actual act of committing a sin, have no need of repenting. But we do dedicate them. So today, the title is Show and Tell. So I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter. And we want to read verse 6 and 7. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. In other words, if someone claims to be a member of the body of Christ and they walk disorderly and they create problems for the body of Christ, Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica, just don't have anything to do with them. You don't have to be mean to them or anything like that, but just don't make them a bosom buddy. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. And then we go to Hebrews, the 7th chapter, if you would turn there with me. So we go to Hebrews, the 7th chapter, and we want to read verse 13. Hebrews 7, I'm sorry, I think I wrote down the wrong scripture here. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, I'm sorry. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 7. I'm just not looking at it right. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or the end of their behavior. So basically what the Bible is saying, that you need to follow your spiritual leaders. However, the Bible also puts this little disclaimer in it, and that is, look at their behavior over a long period of time. Have they behaved themselves properly? And if they have, you should follow them. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And then, while you're standing, 2 Timothy, the third chapter. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. We start reading verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, for instruction in righteousness, pardon me, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God bless you. May be seated. Now, this is a good number of scriptures, but I thought that it's necessary for us to see that according to the Bible, there are two ways in which we learn. One is we learn by example. And then we learn as a result of someone taking the Bible and teaching us. This is why I titled this Show and Tell. Life's greatest challenge is raising kids. And you who have little ones, mention was made by Sister Grant of the cones. And the cones are, Christina, how old are you, honey? 9 years old, so they have 10 years old, and they have six children, 10 and under. But if you think that this is a task with little ones, wait till they get older. And because you feel in the home the pressure, the tug and the pull and everything. And very little time is spent in our culture on teaching and training children. Got involved with Brother Kurt Elke. Brother Kurt Elke went to college here and such a great friend of mine. He attends Brother Booker's church in West Bend. He is a medical doctor. And we talked and talked and talked, and little did I know that he has a German short-haired pointer. So I started telling him about some pointers that I had and training those dogs. And he asked me how I train them. I said, well, this is what happened. I said, a man gave me a German short-haired pointer and told him, he said, this is a good registered dog, good bloodline. But the problem is that when I take him out and open the cage, he jumps out and you only see him like once or twice a day. And so I thought, well, I'll see what I can do about this. So I took him over behind Easttown. Now, this was all, now there's houses in there, but it was just all grass fields when we moved here. And I saw him one time in like an hour and a half, and he was way up on the railroad track like a mile away. I saw this dog. I said, I think that's my dog. Well, I wonder what I'm going to do about this. So I made a trip over to Easttown, and I went into Walden's bookstore. It was the only one there at the time, and I picked up a book by the title of Wing and Shot. Teaches you to train bird dogs. Now, I didn't know anything about training bird dogs. My dad had a bird dog all while I was growing up, and we hunted, but we didn't ever have a good bird dog, and it seems like that every bird hunt we made, it was so frustrating that I didn't even want to go with it. Just yelling at the dog, screaming at the dog, and the dog's chasing up birds before it points, and all of this kind of stuff. My, I thought, this is no fun. Yeah, we got to go quail hunting, you know. And you know, so I'd go along with my dad just because he wanted me to go. he just gets so mad at that dog, and he always just finally catch the dog and said, "We're leaving." Put the dog in the kennel in the back of the truck, and away we go. And, you know, it's that way in some homes. Surprisingly, got to have these babies. You get these babies, and they're so, isn't this wonderful? My. After a while, they're crawling, then they're walking, and then they're talking, and then they're going to school, and they're barely young, and then they're teenagers. I've actually called homes before, and I couldn't even talk without one of the parents telling me, "Hold on just a minute." And I could hear the mom or the dad screaming to the kids, "You got to be quiet. Pastor's on the phone." Sound like a dog fight. After a while, you say, "Why did we have all these kids?" Now, there are a lot of books on parenting now. In fact, we're offering classes on Wednesday night. I think this coming Wednesday night, there will be a class on parenting. Now, it wasn't so when I grew up. But you have to understand that when I grew up, you know, it was kind of the old school. You didn't have a choice but to listen to mom and dad. They didn't give you a choice. They were always right. Didn't make any difference whether you thought they were wrong or not, they were right. And that's just the way it was. Now, however, they're exposed to so many different elements, neighbors, kids, public schools, where rebellion is taught. You know, isn't it a shame that there's an intentional effort in the public schools to take away the legality and the authority of the parents? That's a shame. Because then when they get in trouble, then here's your child, he destroyed something, you got to pay the bill. But that seems to be our way of looking at things. We have a very complex, confused society. There is a pipeline of sins straight from hell right into most American homes. And so many parents attempt to raise their children, yet they don't really see the value of teaching them Christian principles. Now, when I picked up the book Wing and Shot, I sat down and I read it, and I wrote down what I need to do. What am I going to do to get Tab? This was my dog. How am I going to get the dog closer to me and hunt close? And so I just simply followed. I mean, every little detail, I followed the details of this. Before long, I had Tab hunting the normal distance what a bird dog should hunt. And when I would call him in, he'd come in. When I'd send him out, he'd go out. I used a little athletic whistle. Two short blasts means go out. One long blast means to turn. And I just followed the book. I mean, I really followed it. There are times when I came back and got the book and said, "Now, what did I do wrong?" So one time, right where our church is, just grass out here, so I went and got some pigeons from a farmer, and you take and put pheasant scent on them and put their head under the wing, and you mesmerize them, and you bring and plant them, and here comes Tab, and I thought, "Oh, he's on this pigeon." You know, I dragged this pigeon. Well, the craziest things happened. Well, maybe I shouldn't tell this, but he got hot on that trail, and he went up there, and he looked over, and all of a sudden he decided he had to go to the bathroom. So, right on my pigeon. So, So I loaded him up, put him in the car, and ran back to the house. And I was at the table. I poured a cup of coffee, and I was looking at Sister Grant and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Something went wrong. I didn't do something right." She laughed and laughed and laughed at me about that. But I came to this conclusion that if you're going to train a dog, you've got to be smarter than the dog. If you're going to train children, remember that God's word says, if any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally. In other words, God wants you to be a successful parent. Trust me, He does. And it's not just about telling them, but it's about showing them. I told Brother Putnam this story, and he told it Wednesday night in service, but I had already put it in my notes. I was going to tell it. My brother-in-law called me Tuesday evening. Now here, this is just an example of how people think. He called me Tuesday evening and said, "I saw on the news one of the funniest stories. There was a guy that went in to Tyler in a bank. Tyler, Texas, just like one city over from Longview. And he went in there, had a mask on, and he had a bag, and he had a revolver. And he takes this revolver out, and he puts it right in the face of this one lady, right against her head, and said, I want you to fill up this bag. This is a hold up. If you don't, I'm going to shoot you." Well, the lady started shaking. She was scared. She lifts her hands and she starts praying. She says, "Oh God," she says, "you know, I want to be saved, Lord, and you know, I've done everything I can to do right, but if there's anything between me and you, I want you to forgive me, take away all my sin and everything." And the guy pulled the gun by and said, "Hold a minute." He said, "Are you a Christian?" And the lady said, "Well, yes." He says, "Well, I'm a Christian too." Now, you didn't know you could be a Christian bank robber, did you? Yeah, he said, "Well, I'm a Christian too." And he looked at her and said, "I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, "If you will load this sack full of money and go in the back room and count to 60 before you come out, okay?" He said, "I'll be gone and I won't shoot you." Now, that was quite a Christian thing to do, wasn't it? But that, doesn't that tell you just about how broken our world is? How people think? Our broken society. Let's turn to Hebrews, the 6th chapter now, and we want to read verse 12. So Hebrews 6, verse 12. "That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." I pray quite often about my parents. Now, my parents are deceased. My grandparents are deceased. You know, I don't pray for the dead. I just simply thank the Lord for all the teaching that I had. And I used to think my mother was the toughest lady on the planet Earth. When I got to be a teenager, one time I challenged her. I said, "I'm stronger than you." She said, "You may be stronger than me, but you don't have the will that I have." She said, "Son, you sleep in that bed, in that bedroom in there, don't you?" "Yeah." She says, "You will listen to what I have to say. If I have to catch you asleep and tie you up in the bed." Dead serious with me. I said, "Oh, yes." I said, "You wouldn't do that." She said, "Well, you behave yourself or you'll find out." She said, "You may be stronger than me, but you're not as smart as I am." She said, "I've been around a lot longer than you've been around." Now, you know what? I thank the Lord that my mother did that. Now, I got to thinking about it, and I said, you know, she's just trying to get me to do right. She's trying to get me to live right. always taking us to church. But you see, our broken society, and this is unfortunate, but we have so many single parent families. I'm not here to rail against that. Many of you are, you are the only parent in the home, and you can't do anything about it. It wasn't your choice. It just, that's just what life gave to you. And then there's so many parents that are living out of wedlock, and they have a child, and after a while things don't go right, and you know, they don't have to worry about divorce, just leave. Since the Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade, there's been 55 million babies in America aborted. And it's my belief that God had a plan for every one of them. The book of Jeremiah, the first chapter, verse 5, God tells Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." It sounds like when he says, "Before I formed thee in the belly," that he's backing up even past conception. And he's saying, "I had a plan for you before conception." We know in the Bible that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, God had a plan for him. We know that's true of John the Baptist. We can also prove that was true of Job, of Moses, of Noah, prophets of old. But I believe that God had a plan for all of the 55 million, all of them. Now, we can't do anything about that. But Chris, we can do something about the plan that God has for your son. See? We can do that about the plan that God has for your son. We can do that. We can do something about the plan that God has for your daughter, Brother Sister Cone. And it is our responsibility as parents to help them find the plan that God has for them. You know, raise the child as if you realize that there is a plan and you are trying just as hard to find that plan as that child is trying to find it. Well, of course, we know that most children, they get in 10th, 11th grade, and you ask them, "What are you going to do when you get out of school?" "I don't know." Isn't that true? Some of them graduate and want to go to college. "What are you?" "I don't know what I want to be." And I'm not criticizing that. It's just, I mean, it is what it is. But it becomes the responsibility of the parents then to help that child determine what that child should do. What is your purpose in life? See, I believe, as sure as I believe that my name is John Grant, that God called me in the world to come here to Madison to reach the souls that we have reached and even many more. This was part of the plan. I knew when I was a little child, not living for God, using bad words on the playground. I knew that God had called me to preach the gospel. I knew that. I knew that's what I would be doing. I fought it. I resisted it. With the help of my mother, I finally gave my heart to God, even after marriage. But you know, when the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go," I take that "train up a child" is not only tell them, but show them. This is why in recent years I've been saying, take your child and involve your child in ministry. If you're a man and you're involved in ministry, let's say you make hospital calls as soon as the child's old enough, Let the child make hospital calls with you. If you work on a bus route, take the child with you on that bus route. You're teaching a class, and see if you can get permission to take your child in your classroom. And because it's more than just telling them. Now, telling them is important, but you expose the child to various ministries. Take the child with you. In other words, be an example. Show him how to do it. Show him how to pray. That's so important. I said, show him how to pray. I think one of the most convicting things in my life was listening to my mother pray. Oh, my. She knew how to pray. Then I'd go down to my grandfather's house. My dad's parents passed away before I was born. And I'd go down there and I'd work with my grandfather in the fields. He had a large cotton, corn, tomato farm. Every night after supper, we'd go out on the front porch. Hot, hot, no air conditioning in the house. I remember when we got the first fan. We all slept in the floor, right in front of the fan, the one fan. And we thought we'd gone to heaven. My grandfather, he was a sharecropper, and he didn't know how to read. But he'd get my grandmother to read the Bible, and he'd look up in the sky, and he'd say, "Son, you live for God. One of these days, we're going to fly away. The rapture is going to take place." Well, by the way, that's supposed to have happened yesterday at 6 o'clock. Harold Camping, resident of California, said it was going to happen at 6 o'clock Pacific time yesterday. But it didn't happen. Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour. But I got to tell you, you know, I'd go back home after spending a month there with my grandfather, grandmother. I'd go back home and then work and come back in the fall of the year some and help them gather the crops. And you just don't know what an effect that left on me. You know, show them how to pray. Show them how to have faith in God. Show them how to budget their money and how to pay their tithes. You know, that's important. You know, it's moving when you look at our offerings, because there are quite a few children that get like a dollar and they'll put tithe 10 cents and they go right down the line. They got like 15 things they want to contribute to. Sometimes it's just a penny or so. But they're being taught. And some of the most successful people in this congregation, as far as their career is concerned, were children that I happen to know that did that under their parents' guidance when they were just little tots. Now they own their own business. They pay tithing on their personal income, and some of them pay tithing on the gross receipts of their business. You know what's going to happen to them? You see, there's three reasons why you give. One, to meet a need. One, because you love. But another is that you secure your future. Given, it shall be given unto you. And the only way that you'll ever know that you've conquered greed is found in your ability to open your hands and let things go. So teach them how to budget their money. Teach them how to tithe. Teach them to trust God for healing when they're sick. I'm not going to say that you should never give them medicine. I'm just simply saying that, you know, these kids fall down and right away they know all about Jesus healing because they find that out in their Sunday school class. They run, and what they'll do, they'll bow their head and say, pray. Would you pray? Teach them how to control their anger. Oh. Maybe I should say, show them, let's back up, show them how to pray. Show them how to have faith in God. Show them how to budget money. Show them how to tithe. Show them how to trust God for healing. Show them how to control their anger. Anybody here have any problems with your anger? Or don't raise your hand. I should have told you not to do that. But I saw some hands. I'll be careful what I say around you. You know? No, I'm just joking, okay? But you got to show them. You have to show them how to do it. Because if they see mom or dad just always fly off the handle and go off in all directions, and I mean, all the time, just all the time. I don't know of a person that hasn't lost their temper. Okay. Show them how to be kind to people. You're going to find, I don't know why it's this way, but you'll have one child that'll just be smiling, laughing about everything. You'll have another one that just seems to be, from day one after birth, looking skeptical, not trusting, got his eyebrows lowered, wants to cry about everything, you know. Show them how to be kind. Show them how to have a good attitude. You know, you tell them you've got a bad attitude. Well, that's okay to tell them that. But what would be wrong with saying, let me show you how to have a good attitude? Maybe share with them something that struck you, some great blow that struck you emotionally or something, so that they know how you're taking care of it. We're talking about show and tell. Follow me as I follow Christ. Most parents just tell and tell and tell and tell. But children need more. They need to be shown. We'd like for you to stand at this time.